Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore, and of course, BaltimorePositive.com. That's where to find us these days. We have so many new people, so shout out to everybody following us on YouTube who remembers when I was young and sexy, remembers Purple Rain 1, let alone Purple Rain 2, and maybe Purple Rain 3. And, you know, this is going to be an amazing time because when the Ravens have a chance to host an AFC Championship game and go to another Super Bowl, we all believe it's going to happen, at least until it doesn't, or until we're there that week. I'm going to go around and try to find some folks. So our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Win Donation, as well as Jiffy Lube, we're going to be putting on the Maryland Crab Cake Row the week of February 5th. I'll be giving some details out about that. There'll be a lot of charitable causes and a lot of ways to be involved, and we certainly hope you have a purple pep rally. I don't know the time I met this guy, but I feel like I've known him my whole life. So it's been 25 years or a little bit more than that. He could probably tell you more. He was he trapped in believing he was going to do sports radio after he went back to his homeland in the New England, Boston area as a decorated Super Bowl 35 champion. We're getting up on the anniversary. I guess he's 01, 24, 23rd anniversary on January the 28th. We welcome back the main event center. At one time on the hub on radio, parenting his way through Broadway, and now back to the roots. You know, Dion went back and coached ball, right? Why can't Mike Flynn go back and coach a whole brood of young boys? I mean, everybody says Flacco's got all these kids. Dude, I put you and Flacco 1 and 1A when it comes to parenting, and his kid, maybe his kid will go to Broadway or do something, but man, you and Mary have had it as parents, and now you're like a football dad. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, Joe has a better day job than I do, but I mean, for now anyway, right? So,
yeah, you know, I mean, listen, when you play football and all the ex guys will tell you, you go from being a, you know, I think I got in the league at 22 and for 11 years, I was 22 years old. You know what I mean? Then you get out of football, you're like, oh man, I'm 33 and I got two kids. Boom. You know, it kind of hits you fast, but yeah, it's been great. You know, a lot of different things, did radio and TV. Jumped into people with people like you and your ilk. Now I'm just coaching a prep school up here, run a lot of linemen clinics and stuff like that. And I enjoy it. And the biggest part is I'm coaching my sons, you know, in different sports and following Jake around and that kind of stuff. So, you know, for me, thank God playing football gave me some flexibility to do some things that I wanted to at this point in my life. And yeah, I enjoy it, man. It's like second chapter, but it's been fantastic.
Now I was at a birthday party for a guy named Gus Calaris. Shout out to Axios Wines and his vineyard, local guy. He had a birthday party New Year's Eve weekend, and I'm there, and I turn, and there's Kyle Richardson. And Kyle married a childhood friend of mine, a girl I've known since we were kids. And so we, you know, we had a night, we bumped into each other, sort of serendipity took over. Other people I knew were there that night. But I really think about sort of the long tentacles of all this. And I can go deep dive into family and your parents and all these memories and all this stuff. People can go back and Google it. And the Baltimore Bullies and the death of Goose now, and where we are a quarter of a century later, and the legacy of that defense versus what all of this is. But you watch on TV with your kids. I've met your kids. They're getting a little bigger. Your one son's maybe more famous than you, being an actor on Broadway before the plague and leading in sort of a normal life at this point. But like, you sit there and you watch football. What do you make of all of this before? Because you glide in as an alum from time to time, once or twice a year. You don't live here. You've made a life in Boston, but you love it. When you come here, you're hitting me for crab cakes. And once or twice a year, you do that. But you're off living a normal life. What's the Lamar and the legacy? And what are you seeing? Because you don't do sports radio anymore. I don't see your tweets about every little thing that's going on. I thought, man, you're a real football mind. I wanted to pick your brain. I mean, you expect them to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think San Francisco to me was at the time the best team in football, you know? And they went out there and did a pretty good number on them. You know, I think they're a good football team. Certainly, you added a couple pieces offensively. I mean, the loss of Mark Andrew hurts. Just he's a pretty unique player. But yeah, they're playing really good defense. So they have an opportunity. But for me personally, like, it's the first time. I mean, I love doing the sports radio and the talk, but it was exhausting, the fact that, like, well, you know, when you're in that business, right, it's a lot of games. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching basketball games and football games and hockey games, you know? So now, you know, for me, I watched football as a fan. You know, it's funny how I grew up as an Eagles fan. Just because of where I lived, and we moved up here. The Patriots weren't very good, but my kids are Ravens fans. So to me, when I watch the Ravens now, it's through the lens of a fan base. You know, I go back, we were going to go to the AFC Championship game a couple years ago when they lost the divisional game.
We were all going to go to the AFC Championship game.
Yes. Yeah, and we were flying. Jake had to go out into the West Coast, and we were flying back. Me and my son were watching the game. He was a lot younger. He's in eighth grade now. He's a lot younger. And he was all fired about to go to the game. And they lost to the Titans. We know that story. And he started crying. You know what I mean? And it's like, Dad, how could they lose? They were 14-2, whatever it was. I go, son, something you're going to learn with being a sports fan, teams will disappoint you more than they will make you
happy. He was 9 years old. He was nine? Nine about that?
Oh, yeah, crying. Yeah, crying about that. Yeah,
you know, I think of all the disappointments. You know,
I'm like, there's going to be a lot of those. I lived a lot of them. You know what I mean? I disappointed a lot of fans.
So I was born in 68, so I missed 69, the disappointment, 70, 71. My dad loved the Bullets, the Colts, obviously. So I come along, like, my first memories are 73, 4, and 5. My first memories of, like, playoff baseball was losing to the A's again, losing all of our players to California and the Yankees, and Reggie Jackson was here for 5 minutes, and we were afraid we were going to lose Palmer, and Brooks is old, and then Burt Jones was good, and we got our ass kicked every year. We almost goes to the post, but 75, so got our dude flew into the upper deck with a plane and crashed a plane. So, like, this is my childhood. I didn't know from – and then 79 Orioles. We're up 3-1, lose to the Pirates. Burt Blyleven still twisting his ring, being a jerk. But in 83, the Orioles win, and I get that feeling. And then 84, we lose the Colts, right? Like, I'm 15, we lost our football team. So – I guess maybe this is the point where I get all misty and weepy with you and say, you know, your first Super Bowl, you and I rode on a float together, sort of famously shot this video. That's how much it meant to me to win as a fan. And I don't know that I cried when I was 11 and the Orioles lost. I think I was past the crying in sports because I had won and I had lost and I played Little League. And, you know, I didn't think about it like Freddie Patek crying still moves me all these, you know, 40 years later, seeing players cry in the dugout and that sort of thing. But I think about the joy for anybody who wasn't around when you and I were riding on the float, getting wet that day, having a good time. And, but for younger people and for people that haven't experienced it, I do see it through the eyes of, in many cases, friends of mine, grandchildren, you know, literally, because their children saw it. They were of the age, you know, 10 years ago, whatever. But, like, through the eyes of kids that are 15 to 20, like that, 25, this is their run. This is the fun we were having 23 years ago, Flynn.
Well, it's pretty unique, right? Like 2012, and now you have this other big space in between where there's a lot of people that became fans that could experience a good run to a Super Bowl, right? But it's close enough, 23 years, you said, right, where there's a lot of overlap, right? There's you. There's people of, you know, your generation, our generation, right, that we're around, that we're fans. So it's pretty unique. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Philly, right, where they – what do they go to the Super Bowl in 80? And then, you know, they didn't win one until I forget what year they won against
17.
The Patriots. 17, yeah. You know, like, at that point, things have gone first full circle numerous times here. It's still close enough where everybody can remember the 2000 team, right? But, you know, you have different coaches and certainly you have different personnel and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty unique. But, yeah, I enjoy it. You know, now I watch football. I mean, I love football. I love college football. I love high school football, professional football. So I watch. And I coach. And, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy the game. And certainly for me, the game's been pretty good to me. So, you know, to me, the opportunity to coach kids has been really great. But – yeah, it's been a good season. I mean, I love watching the Ravens, and it helps now that, you know, being in New England, excuse me, you know, when you win, what, six Super Bowls and Boston sports fans, right? Around here, most people cheer for the Patriots. But it's unique that my kids are Ravens fans. So I got to get the Sunday ticket. We watch them every Sunday, and we, you know, me and my father talk about it, that kind of stuff. So it's pretty good. And it's good. I love being far, not being in it. I love to just watch the games and enjoy them. But it's been a good run, a really good football team. And like anything, my biggest concern and having been a part of it is you don't play guys that last game, right? Now you got to break, you know, to your next game. And you see it every year. Good teams lose the divisional weekend. That's the frustrating part of it because there's this lapse of time where – like look at a team like the Bills, right? They basically have been in playoff mode for the last 4 or 5 weeks, right? So there's a sense of urgency that they're playing with. Now, I don't think they'll match up with the Bills, but if they get a team that's playing well and they've kind of on the sideline for a couple weeks, you get behind early, you're at home, everybody gets nervous, and, you know, bad things happen. Tennessee's a perfect example. You know, you could go through that years after years, right? There's always that, you know, higher-ranked divisional team that loses in that first round because, you know, they just time off and they didn't prepare right, or they just got off to a slow start.
What's preparing right, Mike? I mean, you know, I guess that would be the issue here to say, you've got the time off. Like, if you wanted to go play everybody last weekend to play him, you had your chance to do that. And a lot of guys had to play. Like, if you were a player, you would have been playing unless you were really banged up. Because
Some guys got to play, right? There's only so many guys on a roster. So, you know, maybe that isn't as big a deal. I don't know. I mean, there's always, you know, do you practice full go? Are you heavy pads that off week, full days? You know, we had a coach, Brian Billick, that let us have days off. You know, I guess there's really no right answer until you win, right?
You didn't earn buys. The only buy was the 06 year, right? I mean, literally.
Yeah. And then
he, you know, he gave us the week off, that bye week off, you know, and of course we lost so that everybody second guessed them. If we would have won, they wouldn't have second guessed them. So, you know, like it to me, it's not so much, you got to stay mentally engaged. But when you take a couple weeks off and you go from practice pace, the days off and boom, you're at the, you know, elite level football, right? Where any little difference makes, you know, you can win or lose that football game. Like if you get off slow and you don't play well and you're a little off, you're a little rusty, you know, I don't know what the right formula, I guess would be more team-based, but yeah, it's something a little bit difficult. I mean, I enjoyed the bye week, gave me a chance to rest, you know, in season where you have a week of, you know, no stress. You know, it was good, but yeah, you know, that adrenaline, right? You breathe a little bit heavier early. It's just make sure you get your legs under you pretty quick, but there's really no right answer, right? I mean, there are coaches that have grinded those guys during the bye week and next week and they've won and they've lost. And in our case, we got week off and we've lost, but you know, they've done that in other times, you know what I mean? So, it's just how they adjust and I hope they come out better. You know, now Tennessee was a good team, but you know, hopefully they came out better, play better than they did a couple of years ago.
You and I both know a lot of guys with chips on our shoulders. We've been them at various points in our careers as underdogs and undrafted free agents out of the main event and all, you know, this all anything. Lamar wears that in such a different way. And I think from the night he was drafted, and I can probably go back and find back 18, 19, you were doing a lot of radio. You were talking about it. You came on the program a little more often and I was doing a whole lot more sports. So you're probably on the air with me 3-4 times a year, every couple months talking about Lamar 2018, Lamar 2019. Then there was a plague and like all of this that's happened, injuries, the contract last year, the criticism, not that he's a running back or any, just the criticism that he wasn't as accurate as other quarterbacks, that his arm might not have been as strong, that he might not have been in the pocket as much. We're whittling away at that 5 years into this, that if you brought those things up, or the fact that he ran into linebackers, and that was a bad idea, and that running the ball 21 times was not sustainable, which got me thrown out amongst many other things, asking questions like that, just simply basic football things. Where were you, full honesty, 18, 19, 20, and where are you now on the Lamarometer of what he's done? Because it's not the same game. He's the same guy, but he's a different player.
Yeah. Well, I think when the last time we
talked, or at least about this, I thought it was insane that people wanted to get rid of him and they didn't want to pay him because, A, I thought he was a good football player. Certainly he had weaknesses, but my thought process was, where do you go from here? Okay, clearly you can win with him. Now, can he reach a certain level? Well, there's some maturity to that and development in this game, but where do you go if you let Lamar walk? Because it is the most important position in football. So I clearly was of the mindset, like, you re-sign him, you build around him and try to win. Now, with you, though, I thought running 22 times a game was not sustainable. It's just hard. I mean, you look at running backs in this league, receivers, injury, there's a high risk. And the difference between running back and receiver and lineman, when you lose your quarterback, everything changes, right? Everything is built around this guy. He's the face of your franchise. So not running as much probably made sense, which he doesn't. I don't know the numbers, but anecdotally, when I watch the games, he doesn't run as much as he did, making a concerted effort from the pocket. But you bring in Beckham Jr., right? Zay Flowers, who's a fantastic player. I remember he was up here at BC. Used to watch him a lot in the BC games. You had Mark Andrews there. You had some weapons around him. You had a new offensive coordinator that probably helped him look at things in a different way. You know, a new voice looking it through his eyes. He's had success, Monken, where he's been. So those changes have helped him. But he's right there, you know, MVP of the league. And it would be well deserved. Now, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's always a premium to pass, you know, in the playoffs. But he's been great this year. He's played great. And how he's played, he's earned that MVP. And, you know, to me, it doesn't change my mind. It was the decision to keep him and pay him was the decision to make. Not that I was proved white by his record, because, you know, unfortunately for quarterbacks, they get gauged on what they do in the playoffs or if they win a Super Bowl, which it's tough, right? Because some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time didn't win a Super Bowl, right? And there are quarterbacks that were very average that won Super Bowls. But today, with so much wrapped around the quarterback, that's kind of part of, to complete your resume, you do win a quarterback. So I hope he does. But yeah, I think he was a great player. And back then I said it would be ridiculous to let him walk. So, you know, and he's pretty unique, right? Went to a smaller college, and he was doubted there about can he play quarterback at a professional level. Then he got here, a lot of doubters here, but you know, financially and his resume, like to have a chip on his shoulder, you're like, wait a minute, you're making a lot of money, you won an MVP,
two Heisman's,
and yeah, two Heisman's. So I mean, why do you have a chip on your shoulder? But the great ones, right? It's there, and that's what motivates him. And I could see that, right? With you know, for me, I think of when I played, and I was just a lineman. It was easy for me. You know what they say, crap rolls downhill, right? And that's usually a lineman down at the bottom. And when we would struggle, the lineman for Baltimore would get hammered, and I would be one of the guys, the undrafted guy. And it was easy. And this was
and
an
when
year
Jamal
without...
runs for 2,000 yards, it was Jamal was a hell of a runner.
Yes. Oh, man, can you make tackles? But in my ear, right, it was the newspaper and radio, okay? And if you really wanted to insulate yourself from that, you could. But now there's so many different platforms that you can get hammered. You can't pick up your phone. And if you know, all these different social media things, right? For an athlete, you should do it, right? Because it's a platform for you to get your voice out. But you can make money doing this stuff, right? Whatever it may be, you know, and people can hammer you on that. So I'm sure, you know, that is what motivates
Aaron Rodgers as an example.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys, and I don't blame them, but there's consequences to that, right? You're gonna get a lot of the filth and the muck when people want to hammer you, you know, because you're putting yourself out there. But yeah, I have to believe, right? That chip on the shoulder has benefited them. When people doubt you, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like if you're a competitive individual, which he is, I would imagine that is a motivating force. But he's had a hell of a season. If he wins the MVP, I wouldn't be surprised. And I would like him to finish here, you know, to finish and win a couple games, get to a Super Bowl, you know, and certainly he's a good football player. It doesn't diminish in my eyes what he is, but, you know, you need to win. You need to win the Super Bowl for some reason for quarterbacks to get validation. I mean, look at Marino, right? Never won one. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he takes a hit consistently, right? Like, well, he never won a quarterback. You know, and then you got guys like Mark Rippon and Trent Dilfer and my guy, you know, on and on and on. Brad Johnson with Tampa Bay that won a Super Bowl, right?
Nick Foles. How about the great Nick Foles?
Yeah, Nick Foles. Who else?
Jeff Hostetler. Sure. Yeah, we can go through them all.
You know, you go through them all, but that.
Plunkett was a 1-1 who scrapped. You know, your dad was watching him up there in New England for 50 years and scrapped to win. I mean, And by the way,
better than people give him credit for. Me personally.
While we're at it, Mike Flynn is here, Super Bowl 35 champion, father to the stars, and living the good life up there in New England. For you with Flacco, as this thing goes full circle, and this just dates me, okay? Because I came off the boat. You know, it's all 5 minutes ago. It's all 100 years ago, depending on where I am and in my mind, but. You never played with Flacco, right? So, like, it feels – do you know Joe at all other than getting an autograph for your kids or a high five? Like, it is
– Yeah, I mean, I don't
I don't know him. I mean, I knew him because if you recall, once I got in there, I did a lot of the Ravens TV shows for a couple years after. So we were all interacting with the Ravens Wired and the Ravens Report and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he was a nice guy. I mean, really what you see is what you get. I mean, you know, he was just a quiet, just kind of laid back dude, you know?
Well, what do you make of that? I mean, that this is amazing, right? I mean, and you saw Dion come back here and you were part of that. I mean,
yeah,
this is it different than that because we were talking about Hall of Fame quarterbacks and dude, you just went through ordinary quarterbacks, you know, like my guy, Trent. All he did was win Super Bowls and have rings. And that's, you know, Bradshaw's won a bunch of them and still trying to think, you know, Namath won, goes into Super Bowl, threw more picks than he threw touches. So I guess we all get measured differently. But Joe was counting his money, his blessings, kids, loves his kids like you love your kids, loves being a dad, all of that, you know, has hobbies. He's, you know, big family, a lot of love, all that good stuff. And wants to come back because he can come back, tells everybody he can come back. And now, like, dude, might be him next week here. Might be.
Well, a couple things, right?
And this, as a sports fan, to me, I always love, like, when you grew up, right? You teams that you cheered for, right? When you have that old guy, and I put that in quotation marks, because never none of the football players, basketball, are old for the sport there, but that old. And they have that game or they have that run, right? I'll give you an example, right? One great in 2001, Terry Allen, he was broken down, played for the Minnesota Vikings for us, okay? And at the end of the year, he had two big games in the year. And then he ran for like, you know, we ran for 280 yards against Miami, won a playoff game. He ran for 180 yards, right? The old man, we called him, right? You know what? Larry Bird, when he was in his last year, scored 49 against Portland, right?
How about so your guy Ray Bourque? You want to get, come on, give me a little bit, give me a Ray Bourque.
Like, but just Ray Bourque, you know, when he's old on his last, he goes to the Avalanche, wins a cup, right? He has that last run. So when these old guys pull out these vintage performances, right? Or these old guys have these great stories. Like Terry Allen wasn't a Hall of Famer, but it's like this vintage performance. Like to me, I just love it. It's like the best thing to, for me to sit, you know? So now Joe Flacco's a guy who's played a long time. He's listen, he had a great run, but he's been knocked over the head consistently of you're not good and you got to get him out of here. But he goes to Cleveland and he has this run. And like to me, I watch it and it's enjoyable to watch, right? You're like cheering for that guy, you know, and as much as like for me, not cheering for Cleveland.
You hate the Browns. We all, but that's the hard part of this. We're all supposed to hate the Browns, but I'm going to be
rooting
for him Saturday. I will be.
Because you're kind of like, dude, this is great. Like, here's a guy like, And the thing with Joe and a lot of these older guys that had that little run, it just ends. Like, he may go out there Saturday. I don't know. I think they're playing Saturday. He may throw five picks, you know? And you're like, okay. But for that little run, that one game or that stretch, he's what he was. And I love that with these with older players. I think it's just one of the greatest things in sports where you just, like, all those people that you connected, you just have that twinkle in your eye. And I saw it a lot here with different – athletes, you know, certainly with the era of the Celtics, you know, McHale had a couple playoff game when he was about to retire and all that kind of stuff. So me personally, I love those storylines when the old guys come back and they're just playing. He's just slinging it. So, you know, and for me, I know a lot of people from Cleveland, you know, Dave Zastrow, who played for the Ravens. He lives back there now and I've got friendly with a lot of his friends and I constantly text him about this. So, They're all fired up about him, you know. And then the Cleveland fans, right? Any hope, anything to grab onto, they're all in, right? There's no, like with you and I, like from Boston, you mentioned your failures as a Baltimore sports fan, your teams. We're always, you know, we'll go in, but we dip our toe in, right? Because we want to protect ourselves. Like Boston fans need to protect us. But Cleveland, any glimmer of hope, they're all in. They just jump into the pool. They don't even care. They don't check the temperature. They just go right in. So, they're pretty fired up there, but I'm excited for that game actually, and I'm cheering for him and the Browns.
It's the game of the weekend, and I think it's a heck of a story among stories. Mike Flynn is here. So what? Your Broadway child, Jake. Give me a little update. Is he going back and doing anything? Can I come see him perform at some point? Maybe.
No. Right now, he's actually the first year. He's going to real school. So that's
been a pretty big adjustment from tests. You know, homework. Has to get up at the same time every day. So it's been pretty good adjustment. Yeah, he's doing some auditions and stuff, and hopefully, you know, that type of business is tough, and he's a little bit of an awkward age, right? You know, he's not a young boy, but he's not a man. So, like, for the, you know,
it's
people
the
that
Peter
are in that
Brady
world,
stage in a Brady Bunch. It was like,
exactly,
right,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So anybody who's listening, you know, that have been through that, like, he's in a unique spot. But, yeah, he's enjoying, like, a regular social life, you know what I mean?
Good.
That he can make, you know, dealing with, you know. We all loved high school, right? Like, hey, Jake, you know, you just had the time. You're like, I'm going to roll you into the world of, like, you know, insecurity and bullying and questioning here. Where do you fit in the world? Here, have fun in high school, bud. You know what I mean? So,
but
oh,
you
by
can
the
always
way, you don't
say,
know anybody.
Dude, but you walk through Manhattan and Times Square every day of your life for 2 years. So, like, and, you know, got out in front of people, like, and met people.
Yeah.
I, you know.
But that's nothing compared to high school. You know that, man. Like, kids are brutal. I mean, you'd rather, like, you know, just hang out in New York and just meet people than in high school is a different world. You know that. So.
All right. Well, listen, we're all going to school here, you know, for – and I guess the thing for you being a football tactician, speak to this team and the things that they're doing and doing well in regard to Monken in this offense that you sit and watch the games. This looks a lot different, feels a lot different. Better players, you know, all of that, but also the offensive line, to your point, Morgan Moses, Ronnie Stanley trying to, he's at that point where he's breaking down in the way you saw J.O. break, you know, there's only so much of you that you have when you have that body on the offensive line. Not everybody can be Bruce Matthews and do it for, you know, Matt Burke doing it for 15, 18 years, right? But where they are with how this thing was put together, and then defending Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney and Justin Matabike, who you would have had a nose on after practicing against the Sam Adams and the Tony Siragusas every day. This is a very, very formidable, balanced team, but also balanced with, to your point, you mentioned Beckham before you mentioned anybody. I would mention Roquan Smith before I'd mention anybody. Dude, that dude's been here 15 months, came in the middle of all of it. It's not Ray Lewis. It's different than Ray Lewis, but it's pretty similar.
Yeah, well, the personnel moves they have made have been a big difference, right? New coach and voice and offense. But you mentioned Smith. Great move that was, right? And hit the ground running. And Clowney, right? 9.5 sacks. A guy who's, you know, always doesn't seem to hit his ceiling, right? But he's playing well.
He's a 1-1. When you're a 1-1, what is your ceiling? Like, to your point, yeah. Jim Plunkett's ceiling took 15 years to win a Super Bowl. Literally, right? I mean, it's really hard when you're – expectations, which is what we're talking about here right now to begin with. Yeah, expectations are hard.
I mean, if he was, you're right, to your point, if he was a fourth round pick, right, he'd probably be re-signed to a multi-year deal. But and then, you know, to me, offensively, bringing in a couple of receivers that are explosive, right? So, yeah, I mean, to me, you know, I like what they're doing defensively, but watching them against the Niners, how they play defensively there, I think, like Lamar, one thing I like, he's more comfortable in the pocket. He's making good throws. It seems like he's making good reads. You know, it's hard sometimes when you watch the TV version. It's funny, you know, when plays break down or they're not doing, my son's always yelling, why don't they run them more, Dad? Why are they running more? I'm like, son, just relax. Like, you know, it's a little bit change of philosophy, right? They, you know, him staying in the pocket, it's just that he can't run, right? And he will. But to me, his ability to run and to make plays like that, like, you have to have a spy on him, right? How they rush, right? It helps the linemen out because they can't over-pursue in gaps and stuff like that. But, you know, to me, like, those additions, you know, veteran guys that are playing really well, you know, it's been a big boost to them. To me, I think, you know, as of, you know, the end of the season, they were the best team in football, you know. And we'll see. I mean, I think the Niners are good. I think the Bills are playing well. The Bills are a team, to me, that if Josh Allen gets his head on straight for a game for four quarters, even if he's on straight for three quarters, like, it's a tough team to beat. I think they're pretty good. The Chiefs, we'll see. But, like, the Niners are good. You know, the Cowboys, I think, are better than people think. I don't know. They seem to fold when it matters. But I think the Ravens have a legit chance this year.
Well, here we are. Mike Flynn's watching from up in New England. Hope you get back down here for a crab cake or some crab soup sometime soon. And it's fun watching your life unfold, especially on various holidays. I mean, you know, I don't have a family much to speak of or a big family. So all of you become sort of extended families and whatnot. And I attended your wedding. So I'm seeing all these children grow. I tell you, man, from Halloween outfits to doing song and dance routines on TikTok to your various holiday meals to seeing your parents. It is always fun to it's fun to have lifelong friends, Flinner. It really is.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
I'll talk to you soon. And if I get down for the AFC Championship, I'll give you a text. I want to go. So
Well,
I had tickets a few years ago, and you know, I don't want to jinx it just yet. So
get an extra one. I'll go with you. How about that? You know, it would be an honor to attend another. The last time you and I attended an AFC Championship game, good things happened, as I remember it, in Oakland. I remember bawling, crying with your mother in the area where the people in the black hole on the way out of there. That was a day right there. It was January 14th to 2001. We're all getting older, Flinner.
I know, man.
You'll always be a champion to me. There he goes, Mike Flynn. The main event.
All right, man, I'll see
you. I just tweet about the Ravens a little bit there in this time of the year so we can get some insights. All right, get online, man. Okay. Three games. We're 3 hours away from winning a Super Bowl. Makes it sound really easy, doesn't it? Luke is out in Owings Mills for all things sort of bye week or whatever we're going to call this, sort of rest up week, get right week, all that stuff. We're going to be rolling the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road as Crab Cake Row. That's going to be happening beginning on February 5th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away 5 days in a row. I got to get Roz to stack me up with those. I have some leftover holiday scratch-offs and the sniffy kinds. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 86690Nation, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare will be telling you more about all of them. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.